Good afternoon. Welcome to Win by Two with Spencer Porter. There's just so much going on in the world of sports, and it's going to be a fun episode to just jump around, talk about a little bit of everything. The NHL is about to begin the postseason. The NBA's had the play-in games. They'll finish up on Friday night tomorrow. Also, Champions League, if you're into soccer, huge, huge impacts as we've moved on to the semifinals there. Some injuries. MLB's getting ready to go. I've played a couple of weeks now. Still very, very compact, though, with the records. But, I mean, 162 games, eventually everything will fizzle out and we'll be able to find out who's legit and who just doesn't have the money and the farm system. But all over the place, really, in the wacky world of sports. The Lakers, though, beat the Pelicans, so they will be the seventh seed in the West. And then the Sixers yesterday played a much better second half compared to their first half, came back and beat the Heat, and they will be the seventh seed playing the Knicks. And the way I look at it, I mean, in the West, being the seventh seed or the eighth seed, you could argue what's more important, but they're really about even. You play the Nuggets or you play the Thunder, both great teams. But in the East, I mean, the Sixers, huge, huge that they won that game, because now they'll play the Knicks in round one of the playoffs instead of the Celtics. That is a big brother versus little brother there. Just a huge jump playing the one seed versus the two seed in the East. So the winner of the Bulls, Heat, will play the Celtics round one. The Heat, though, will be without Jimmy Butler. He sprained his right MCL. Congrats to him. He's a dog for playing through the injury in that game against the Sixers yesterday. He was limping all over the place, but still stayed strong. But, yeah, sprained right MCL. So his season is done if the Heat can't beat the Bulls. Might be able to come back for the series, but latest reports say he's out for a couple of weeks minimum. The Bulls beat the Hawks, so their chances are still alive, and the Kings beat the Warriors, so their chances are still alive. The Kings play the Pelicans, and it's the same situation. The Heat have home court advantage against the Bulls for this game on Friday night, and the Pelicans have home court advantage for the Kings on Friday night, but Zion Williamson isn't playing. Tweaked his knee soreness, and left the game against the Lakers. So the Bulls and the Kings have some good momentum, some good juju, and the star player for both teams is not playing. So a chance for them to continue on and secure that playoff spot. For the Kings, they're 0-5 this year against the Pelicans. Clean sweep for New Orleans, but now without Zion, with these implications, it'll be interesting to see if the Pelicans can win the one that matters, or goes in the Kings' favor and they get the last laugh. Even though it's one win, it will be the biggest one. So we will be able to see how that plays out on Friday night. MLB-wise, I mean, you know, typical. The American League East, Yankees, Orioles, Blue Jays, Rays, Red Sox. Well, everyone has a winning record after 19 games. Other divisions, not as strong. The American League West has surprisingly beat themselves up. The Rangers are 10-9, their first place in there. The Astros are 6-14 in last place. Yeah, not the A's or the Angels. It's the Astros, which is shocking. But as I said, we've played, I mean, for the White Sox case, 18 games. They're horrible, by the way. The Astros case, 20 games played. The majority of the leagues played 19. Still have a long way to go. And I think injuries are really going to be a problem. We've seen that already with starting pitchers. Gerrit Cole hasn't played yet. Spencer Strider's out for the year. Shane Bieber's out for the year. The ace for the Mets already on the IL. Justin Verlander hasn't pitched yet. Jacob deGrom, Max Scherzer. I mean, these are some big names. Guys that have not even had their debut yet. They're nursing injuries. I mean, there's theories all over the place. Jeff Passan's one of the more reliable sources compared to the other people that just yap. And sometimes I'm one of those people that just talks and talks. But An interesting point Tyler Glasnow made. Tyler Glasnow was with the Rays, now is the ace for the Dodgers. You know, because they can't use rosin now. No substances, nothing sticky on the hands or the wrist to pitch. And his point of view is we have to grip the ball so hard as pitchers that, I mean, we're bound to get injured. He's using muscles in his hand and wrist that he didn't even know existed just to get that necessary grip. And, I mean, as you go through spring training and warm-ups and then on a good day pitch 88 to 105 pitches if you have a good outing and you're gripping this ball so hard, get those stitches forming the right way, it is just too much pressure on the arms of these pitchers. So I side more with his point of view, not with the pitch clock, because the pitch clock's not 8 seconds. They've got some time, and you know, with or without a pitch clock, you know, you're still gonna have the same pitch count, and maybe a little bit of rest, more rest in between pitches can help. But I mean, this is only the second season with the pitch clock. The research shows, you know, those seconds, I don't think personally make that big of a difference. But Glasnow makes just an interesting point. But so do we bring back, you know, sticky substances? Who can make the best goop? And, you know, then pitchers might have less stress on their arms, might be more dominant, and then we have less home runs, less hits, less balls hit out of the infield, or just less contact in general. So as Jeff Passan said, something needs to change, but we don't know what that something is. Just have to see how it plays out. But if it plays out and everyone's getting injured, it's going to be a stinker of a season. So hopefully these injuries can chillax. Hard to control those variables. I mean, if we found a way to not have injuries, every season would be different. I mean, you can pick players from literally every sport imaginable. If injuries didn't happen, you know, they would be a Hall of Famer. They would be, you know, their jersey would be the jersey you'd see out in public because they didn't get hurt so much. I mean, a great example of this is, you know, Brandon Roy, basketball-wise, just an absolute dog, just torching guys. Derrick Rose even had his heyday, but it got cut short just because of injuries. And, I mean, football is probably the biggest one. So 19, 20 games around there have been played in the MLB. Long way to go. League leaders, though, or division leaders, I should say, are the Yankees, the Guardians, the Rangers, the Braves, the Brewers, and the Dodgers. Shout out, though, to the National League Central, the Brewers, Cubs, Pirates, all with 11 wins. An early surprise coming out of the NL Central. And newsflash, I'm pretty sure we already knew this, though. Mike Trout's amazing still. Jose Altuve still amazing, whether you like him or not. Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts, I believe, are top one and two in the league in total bases. So just some remarkable stuff. The Yankees have 4 players in the top 20 in walks. And I don't know if I, you know, documented it on a podcast or recorded myself saying it, but I believe the Yankees might set a team record for most walks in a season, just because Judge, Soto, Stanton, and shockingly Anthony Volpe and Verdugo, they're getting walked. I mean, the Yankees have been taking pitches, and especially with Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, I mean, it's scary. You're not going to let them make a fool of you on the mound, and strategy-wise, sometimes you just got to put them on first. So the Yankees are trending in that direction. DJ LeMahieu will be back with the Yankees at some point. It's believed at the end of this month he should get a few games played before May starts, but he has a good eye as well. I mean, not the most exciting record to break, but I could see the Yankees definitely pulling that off. Baseball is trending, and NBA and NHL are getting about to that climax as round ones of each playoffs for those sports are about to start. The NBA draft will be at the end of April, coming up next week, I believe. Yes, April 25th. So a week away. I think we have the majority of things predicted. You know, we know, oh, this team's going to take this guy. Caleb Williams is going to go number one, this and that. But teams like the Chargers and the Vikings could make some trade splashes. Maybe there's some T. Higgins getting moved around draft time, and the Bengals, instead of paying him, franchise tagging him, can in the future just draft some great receivers. The Bills are going to draft a lot of receivers. The Patriots, I think, are going to take a quarterback at three, but they've said, hey, we'd love to take a quarterback, but we'd love to, you know, trade some picks and make moves that way. Either way works for us, helps our team get better. And I really think the exciting thing to see is if the Commanders take Jaden Daniels or Drake May. I think they're going to take Jaden Daniels. They seem to like him more, like his workout and spending time with him. But we know what certain teams are going to get who or what position they need, but, you know, there'll be a few exciting trades. And also it'll be interesting to see if someone like the Giants pick up a great defensive player, or with the sixth pick, they take a quarterback as well. But it's an offensive heavy draft. If you're one of these teams, you know, drafting in the first half of the first round and you got a solid offense, I mean, one of these defensive guys is going to fall to you. I mean, he's top 10, top 5 defensive player in the draft, and he might come to you at the 20th pick just because the offensive needs and the strength of this offensive draft is also so strong. We'll see how that plays out. I mean, offensively for the Cardinals, Marvin Harrison Jr. likely is just going to fall into their lap at four, which is just dandy for them. So the Cardinals have had their struggles, but this time they appear to be getting some luck. But even the Patriots could draft Marvin Harrison if they, you know, trade or go different ways with their quarterback thinking. Who knows? But it's an exciting time of year. If your NFL team sucks, enjoy the draft. This has been Spencer Porter with Win by Two.